We all tell ourselves stories of who we are and why. But we forget that we have the power to define them. That no idea grows from mewling striped cub to teeth at your throat tiger without a little help, some guidance, and a whole lot of love along the way. I'm Jared Cerf, and this is Here Be Tigers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Otter Worlds. I am definitely still Ramnesis, a.k.a. David Herman of the Brothers Herman. No, I am definitely still David Herman, a.k.a. Ramnesis of the Brothers Herman. Do not pay any attention to that little faux pas.
You ate what was in the jar.
I haven't been eating the stuff.
Dave found a jar of marshmallow fluff that is how old?
Well, it's it wasn't a real jar of marshmallow fluff. It is a it was like a thing at Cracker Barrel, like a fake jar of marshmallow fluff, but they decided to call it stuff, which like I don't think they'd realize there was an old like 80s horror movie.
You're eating off-brand horror goo.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Definitely still Dave. I am Jared Zerf, host of Here Be Tigers.
I found the link in the chat.
Andrew, I'm going to kick you.
And I pinned it, so we're good.
Awesome. Introduce yourself.
I am Andrew, 64 Loco Online, and we have fixed the scrolling sound.
Oh, goodness.
We have reached the whirling place.
It was delicious.
It's always the Witchers.
Oh, that's how it begins. Importantly, Andrew, of the questions we've never asked you, strawberry, vanilla, or chocolate?
Depends. It depends.
Dave, can you explain to them why there's only one of three?
I actually don't remember.
Good. He gets no answer, then he just has to decide to be kept in.
I'm going to go with chocolate.
Yeah, he goes first then.
Oh, no. Wait, what did I sign up for?
We're not going to tell you on this episode. You're going to have to listen to some old ones.
Okay, I gotta remember my character for this. It was...
Elfie,
yes. I had notes on him somewhere.
Speaking of, since you've been out of the spotlight and the game for a little bit, do you even know where we are currently?
Well, you wouldn't know who I am.
The woods. I'm gonna say we are in the woods.
Oh, we are definitely metaphorically in the woods. So we broke into the mayor's house, scuffled with his son, and ended up getting arrested by the mayor.
So we're in the jail. Okay.
Potentially, yeah.
Everyone but you. And this is why I wanted to bring it up, because there are a couple ways to do this. We can presume the families have sprung us and have administered a punishment of some kind. The two things we have to deal with are what occurs with your sister, Ceci, who is part of the instigating party here.
Oh, probably the biggest instigating party. Probably.
Slugged the mayor's son in the face.
Wait.
In front of the mayor.
Yeah.
That's...
Your sister sets a good example.
I think she hit him with a rolling pin.
She did. There are a couple ways to do this. Else, we may have gotten him possessed by the magical green thing, which caused a lot of mayhem. So there are a couple ways to do this. We can take from when we're free and Alfie joined us up, or if you want a spotlight to begin this, Alfie, you can spring us.
I would be okay with doing that since I've been out of the milieu.
And we have to figure out what happens to Ceci.
So one of the big important things that happened that we, I think, may have established when you were playing Andrew in the game after, there's some type of invasive thing that is foreign that is distracting people of an adult age. Your sister, of course, right at the borderline and threshold. She was momentarily possessed by the thing that seems to make them ignorant of magic and the weirdness around them.
Right.
We think she shaked it out. She shook it out of her head, but it's possible it will come back.
She is the oldest.
Yes. I wasn't sure we would dive into, say, the weird and the strange, but it's possible that by the time Alfie gets to us, other guests or things have arrived, invited or not, to this party. I'm going to leave that up to you, what the outside of the town is like by the time you get to us.
Okay.
What we might do, Dave, is if you want to set the scene inside the brig or the holding pen, And then, or we can just begin with Alfie himself. I'm open to either.
I wouldn't mind setting the scene or starting with a set scene.
I would say that the brig is actually a very nice looking place. It's fairly modern. There's been a lot of attempts to keep it clean. So it's some nice, clean brick and stonework that is spoiled somewhat because mostly this place is just used for people who've had a little bit too much to drink and need to sleep it off, or people who've had a lot too much to drink and need to expel the contents of their stomach everywhere. And they just never quite gotten the smell of it out.
It sounds like it was part of the old wine cellar, and then when the newer renovations were done and all of the nice drink was moved to the new storage areas that can acclimate the mirror's taste, they decided that this would be the closest to, like, a holding cellar punishment. Do they use the term brig specifically? That would suggest someone in the lineage was of a naval background.
I like the idea of brig. It's certainly better than dungeon.
Yeah, it's not a dungeon feel. This is it's a well-to-do village with an affluent mayor. I don't think anyone's meant to be held long, particularly if you're not really an adult. It's more of, where do we put the troublemakers until the people responsible for them come to get them?
Could also, I don't remember if we established as this town being on the coast at all. It could just be that the mayor or someone of power is just of naval, and it's why it's called the brig too.
That's true. We haven't really talked about the surrounds. We know there's woods to one side, but that might just be to the one side. So let's establish, is the town on a coast of some kind? Not all at once, gentlemen.
I'm aware of it being near a hefty forest. If it's too close to the coast, I think that takes off at least some of that potential. Not a ton, but I'm wondering if it's more
a large river.
Yeah, I think it's a river town.
We could also have it. We could have it both ways and just have it be a river town and it's further inland. But there is a way that children, you know, if they venture far enough, can reach a coastline at some point.
Well, yeah, and also a large river will allow sizable boats. So If it's a good enough river or a broad enough part of it, there can certainly be a brig, there can be a port. Perhaps we're not allowed in that part, or it's a little further out of town.
Yeah.
To keep the rowdies out, as it were. We haven't established much about the world around us because I think we're largely kept within the village. So, okay, let's call it a brig.
Well, you're largely kept within the village.
Bo is free range.
Yeah, but he just doesn't take that much of an interest in society.
That's true.
He takes plenty of interest in society. He doesn't take interest in news.
There you go. Let's establish then. Does Ceci seem unusually quiet or just unresponsive? Or do you think she's just stewing? Alfie, you know her best.
I feel like she would be stewing. Okay. Like, I get the sense that she would feel like she is, with whatever happened last time, which if anything, me not being aware plays more into the character of Alfie since he wasn't aware. I feel like she would assume she was in the right and feel she's being unfairly punished.
Okay.
That also seems like something Blue would do, is Ceci.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'd imagine she is stewing.
Second question, has Bo been in here before?
Look at the wall, you tell me. I mean, if I was, I'd definitely decorate it, and there's no way they scrubbed it all off. Bo carries around like a pencil, paint, all that kind of stuff all the time. He's doodling on the walls and things like that.
Okay.
I think if you haven't been here before, which probably you haven't because you typically aren't caught, it feels like.
That's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe this is your first time in here. You've heard about it. Finn has definitely been in here, but not for long.
They will remember me this time. I have done a remarkably good image, like over on one wall where like there's one of the beds. On the wall above the bed, I've done a remarkably good image of myself sleeping in the bed.
Are you trying to convince them that you'll be here even when we get out?
I just want this place to remember that I was here. Honestly, hadn't thought that far ahead.
Finn pokes a finger at Ceci, notices she's still not responding. Sighs.
Yes, I feel like she would just be stewing by herself. Like she
absolutely in the corner.
Yeah, like she's definitely I don't think she would take her anger out on you guys, is the thing. Like, that doesn't... She would take it out on something, but not someone.
Right. I'd say if there are, like, mice or rats in the cellar, given her expressed love of rodents,
yeah,
she's probably either at the far end for them or they've learned to stay away from her.
But with this in mind, I think we can let Elfie into the scene.
Right. I think... Let's establish where Elfie is. Do you want him to enter into the scene, or do you want a bit of Elfie in the town getting into the house first?
I was thinking more that, like, Finn would see him. Like, maybe, I was going to say, is the brig above ground?
Oh, no, this is basement or lower.
It's a converted wine cellar.
Okay, because I'm thinking, like, Finn is looking for Elfie, or, like if there's a window in the cell...
Yeah, oh, it'd probably open bars or something, you know, or just, you know, if it actually is wine cellar, it might be kind of the old metal hashes or something.
Exactly, yeah. I'm picturing Finn is, like, trying to look around and see if Elfie is anywhere nearby.
Right, there's going to be someone Finn has conned into helping him out of these things before. He's wondering which one it is.
Yeah.
And hopefully not his dad. Basically, that's his one thing there, and probably why he's not paying too much attention to Bo. He's waiting for someone to come get them out that isn't his father.
Yeah.
Because that will be bad.
Hmm. Whereas Bo knows whoever comes to get him out, it isn't going to be his folks, because they're out on a journey. No one's going to be able to find them at the moment. Yeah, it's going to be another couple of days.
Right, and they'll probably laugh this off anyway.
Quite possibly.
All right, I will say with this that Elfie does enter the scene as Finn is looking out the window and just kind of, like, gets in the earshot of him, and he's like, oh no. What did you guys do?
Okay, here's a very important question. Do Elfie and Bo know each other?
I can't answer that. It's between you two.
Yeah. I mean, Ceci knew Bo.
Yes.
Bo is basically the son of a like some trappers and traders that live out in the woods, and he comes into town on a regular basis, but he doesn't live there.
There is a chance Elfie has seen Bo, but maybe not met him, because he does go out in the woods to, like, look for herbs and medicinals and alchemy ingredients. There is a chance they have, if not met, have seen each other.
Okay.
And I feel like seen each other, because Elfie would have run. he is scared. He runs when he sees something that he does not know about or does not understand.
Bo probably is a cannibal. It's understandable.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I might have also been in the shop sometime. My bond with Ceci was her bread was the best.
I kind of like the idea that you probably saw Bo in the woods first and ran from him. So by the time he shows up to pick up some bread or something, he's still utterly terrifying and you bolt upstairs.
Yeah, exactly.
You've never actually spoken to him.
And there's actually no reason for it. Like, there's nothing about him that would indicate.
Yeah, exactly. That. Hi there.
Open the door. Hey.
Hello.
Bo, Finn, Bo.
Yeah, Finn. Wait, Elfie. Exactly.
I've seen you. You're the mouse from the village.
The what?
The mouse. The one who goes into danger, but always ears up and. Ready to run at a moment's notice.
You sure that's not a squirrel?
Seemed more mousy to me, but you know.
He's got that bushy, yeah. I could see it.
But you're right, squirrel would work. The squirrel!
I'm not a squirrel.
I mean, I didn't mean it literally. Bo is busy drawing a little picture of a squirrel man on the wall.
Okay, how exactly do you want me to open the door, as you say?
Didn't you make something to, you know... Break it, dissolve it.
You do realize that there are guards between me and that door in there. I can you even fit through this if I did that?
Just fine. Do you have something small and pointy?
Rustles around. I have a rock.
It is small. It is pointy. Not very pointy, but...
No, this one's a little pointy. I feel like he'd have a, like, weird rock he'd find that's a little pointy.
What does it feel like secures this thing? Like a latch outside or, you know, an old-fashioned turnkey lock?
The door for the cell or the window here?
How big is the window? Let's figure that out.
I think if there were no bars in the way, we could just barely squeeze out.
And what are the bars made out of?
If we're going with, this is a old wine cellar. I was going to say, we established it as a hatch, we said, or like something like that.
Yeah, it's probably rusted closed.
Yeah.
We've established Finn is probably the strongest of the group. Let's just try it the hard way first and then see what happens from there. He's going to reach for the bars. You sure you don't have anything just to, you know, loosen it a little?
Let me see if
what if you get it floating?
Floating?
Yeah, the floating thing. I wonder if that'll work on bars.
We kind of lost whatever was in your box, but didn't.
Wait. Fine. What do you mean didn't?
Okay, so you know, I have to do this now. I'm not sure how we're going to work out the roll on this, but effectively, when I finally managed to wrestle the thing that was in the box and get control of it, Ceci and the others managed to pull it off me briefly. Part of whatever its nature was stayed with me, and that allowed us still to float if I held on or touched something. So I'm curious, because this is basically our first attempt at actually applying magic in the game deliberately.
Well, what is the risk? What is the consequence? Because that determines if it's a roll or not.
Okay. So yeah, the first question is, I think, whether or not anyone notices when we do it. Or if not when we do it, then when we get out. So it might be we do this without issue, but getting out is the possible risk.
All right.
In which case, there's no roll yet.
It doesn't make sound. And honestly, if they were watching us carefully, they'd already see we were talking to someone on the other side of the hatch.
Okay. So in that case, I don't think there's a roll yet. What Finn's just going to do based, you know, rolling off what Alfie said is, you know, he's going to, because he has no idea how this works, he's going to stare really hard at the first bar and then just gradually lean in excruciatingly slowly and tap one of them. Now, every time we've done this before, whatever was touched wasn't anchored to anything. So there's probably some resistance, but you said the bar was rusted, right? Top or bottom?
Well, I was thinking rusted shut, but yeah, it is good. The whole thing is probably rusty.
Yeah, it's probably just all rusted at this point. If they never...
Is their framer just like situated? Okay.
They probably didn't like think to check or anything, because it's like, oh, it's rusted shut, that no one's ever really going to get out of here, and it'll be fine if we just convert this.
Right. I'm wondering if there are like any nuts or bolts or something, whatever using to seal in there. I think the first thing that happens is one bar starts to rattle, and then another, and then another, as he just moves on to one and the next. And we're not sure what this magic does, so I'm going to bounce this to the two of you, perhaps to Alfie, since you're the one that either found or created this.
I have a potential solution to, I mean, I'm not going to, I don't have a suggestion for what happens. I have a suggestion for where to look to figure out what happens. Well, I mean, I still think we bounce it to Alfie, but I think that the way we handle it is we look at the list of Dungeon Master moves.
No, that is, this is, because there's a golden opportunity in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. That is,
so you've got use a monster, danger, or location move. Location would be like this cell, a move associated with this cell. Danger would be something associated with this power. Or reveal an unwelcome truth, or show signs of an approaching threat, or deal damage, or use up their resources, or turn their move back on them, or separate them, or give them an ability that fits a class's ability, which doesn't really make sense right now. Or show a downside to their class, race, or equipment, or offer an opportunity with or without cost, put someone in a spot, or tell them the requirements of or consequences and ask.
Right. So, for example, it might be that the bars shoot off, fly into the wall, makes a lot of noise, and that alerts the guards. Or the magic works, but there's a side effect, or something else is happening that, because we're so occupied with this, continues to happen.
Part of the reason that I think a roll doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense if there's no risk, but it also doesn't make sense if the risk is so unknown that we don't have any real control over it.
Right.
We're opening ourselves to the risk by doing this. We know that.
Basically, we're playing with an unknown, and that means there are a number of consequences we won't perhaps either understand or experience fully until later. So based on what you know of this thing you introduced into the game, if we're able to invoke a little bit of its magic to loosen some object that has been anchored, what happens?
I'm trying to, I want to think, because the initial idea I had with this was that it was some kind of like possible like fairy or some kind of like fae thing. So
okay.
If we want to play into like maybe like it deals damage, if it's like if we're treating it like there is no bargain been made kind of thing, that's one avenue I'm thinking. Or it could just be you are effectively, the more you use it and the more, you know, you become attuned to it, you're becoming more fae-like in a way.
So that- I have another kind of, I have a way that's playing off of that. It might not be altering me this much in this moment, but we're altering the house.
Right. So what it's used on, it's sort of, you know, reduces down to its, the idea behind it, and then it acts out of that idea, not necessarily in a way that makes sense for the thing itself. The bars are meant to hold things in. That is now the idea, and they're going to hold things in, not necessarily the way bars would, potentially.
Right. It might be that their makeup is changes, because we only know one portion of this magic. There might be other forms of it. It might be that we, if not their makeup changes, they get replaced by something else that is otherworldly because we've allowed a little space or a hole for that to come in through. We don't really know what at all we're playing with. We do know, though, in terms of the rules of the setting, that big magic is rare and small magic persists, and that you can, through the act of collecting or infusing it somehow, increase or accrue it back to that legendary status. So whether we're creating a little doorway in the house or altering its nature or altering Finn's nature or both, it feels like perhaps something in that category.
I could see it being more like we're altering, because we're essentially we're changing something that is meant to keep something in.
Right.
Maybe we have that change so that it's essentially like, I don't know if we want to call it a portal, but like we do the magic changes. It keeps.
Here you go. I'm going to throw this out. I think I'm not entirely sure where you're going, but I'll bounce this out because it just came to me. There's a party going on or soon to happen, right?
Yes.
We just extended an invitation to something else.
That's it. Yeah, that was actually more what I was thinking of, is that if we get out, it opens a door we can't see kind of thing is, I think, where I was going with that. Yeah.
We'll get out and something else will get in.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Ha. The amount of things trapped inside the cell must remain the same.
Oh.
Or at least something must be in the cell while we still are able to escape.
Right.
So, okay, since you're describing it, do you want to narrate how this works from Beau's point of view?
Yeah.
I was bouncing that to Dave.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, either of you. Go ahead.
Well, how about, okay. Then let's make this, let's show some impending badness at this. And then I'll throw it to you, Andrew, with one last question. So you start doing that and things start shaking. And all of a sudden we find ourselves on the outside of the cell, and inside we, or something that looks like us is still there.
But we left our shadows behind, quote unquote,
or something, or our, changelings.
Changelings, doppelgangers. Yes.
Yeah, I'm.
Now the question for Andrew is: did Sissy come with us, or is she in there with the changelings?
Do it, because that has implications.
Ultimately, it comes down to whether she has a changeling or she's stuck with something providence we do not know.
I'm gonna say this, and leave it vague. Four of us came out, and four of us went in. We three know we're outside right now. Ceci, as we know her, is out with us.
So we don't know whether the changeling is... using the term changeling, but we don't know whether the what we've got is the image of her or the real her.
The real one, yes. That's, yeah. I will leave that up, since Blue is not here, that either we have original Ceci or... we have her image or her doppelganger.
Right. There's a momentary version of her that might disappear when we're not looking.
Yeah.
I think somehow that ties back to whatever was inside her mind that gets into the adults too, that distracts them from the magic, which would make sense because whatever uses it wouldn't want to be seen. So there's a glamour here of some kind, right? Let's go with that. So I'm going to dust myself off and then blink and look around and went, huh, that, I guess that works.
Huh. Okay.
Alfie, what did you do? Did you make or did you find
that? No, that was a find. That was not a make.
I'm gonna make the bow.
Where did you find it?
Okay, you're a trapper. Yes, you go to the woods.
Yeah.
Fairly often. You know that part that they don't want us to go into? That's kind
of
like...
Oh, the domain of the domain of the invincible hammer wheel.
What?
What?
Oh, just some old trapper legend.
That you haven't shared with us?
I mean, it's a silly old trapper legend. people share around the campfire when they're drunk and it makes sense.
Bo, you holding out on us again?
I will. Before I say this in character, I will point out that this is from an old worst character ideas thread off of the internet from like 15 to 20 years ago.
Oh no.
Perfect reminding now.
Are we going to find Slenderman in those woods?
No, it's the invincible hammer wheel. He has hammers for hands and wheels for feet. Or is it the other way around? He's actually a pretty good guy. He tends to fight evil and he lives in the woods.
Are you sure that just wasn't one of the drunk hermits?
Okay.
That's why I didn't share it with you. We haven't been drinking enough for it to be fun.
We haven't drank at all. We're kids.
I'm just going to tap Bo and see if he starts floating.
Yeah, but I've seen the trappers around the campfire when they get drunk, and they are having a lot of fun.
Okay, well, it's not exactly our version of that. We around here get told not to do that because, what was it, Finn? Something like people went missing or a body was found or...
But there was always wrong or things were growing out of it. Never eaten, just taken away?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you mean a boar got it? Well, actually, Daniel, they do eat. You mean a deer got it? Like, if you surprise a deer, they'll rear up and attack you. It's not generally a good plan. And there are times deer have killed people, but they don't do anything with them. They just leave them there. Leave them there long enough and things will start growing on them.
Finn is absolutely listening. Is he looking what food is available to steal around the corner?
Well, there's that section where, you know, we're not supposed to go into. I may have went further, a little further, like to, you know, there's like that section where it's like, you know, like the woods get a little darker and then. You know, the thorny section, like...
That is definitely the place I've heard the invincible hammer wheel lives.
I went further.
I haven't heard any other stories, but if something that crazy lives there, then I'm sure there are other things.
I kind of maybe went to the tree that something went missing from, just a little bit. I found it.
Speaking of missing, you don't notice Finn. He doesn't seem to be there anymore.
Where did Finn go?
Hold on. Look around a bit. Look up.
Not floating.
Oh, okay. Probably to get food?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, we're probably, what, in like the back end corner of the manor?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay. I would say by the time you make it around, between the fight and being left in the brig, our punishment ostensibly was the missed party, but we got out. You begin to hear the sounds of like music warming up, food starting to really get to that caramelized roasting, texture pies being set out, folks streaming into the grand yard and gardens. Things are just beginning. And Bo, you're used to being more aware of your surroundings, I'd say.
I would say so, yeah.
Finn is currently hanging upside down from a tree branch trying to swipe a pie.
Oh, so Finn's being Finn.
Yes.
Sounds good.
There's only one problem.
And again, Bo, it hasn't occurred to Bo that this might be a bad idea.
No, there's a reason this is a bad idea. His father is 3 feet from the other side of the table.
Has he seen him?
Bear about. No.
Finn, get down!
No, hold on. No. What we need to do is... Here, do you have a rock or something like that?
I pick up
a rock off the ground and I throw it, like... from the other direction from Finn, so that the people there look away from him. So basically, I'm trying to cause a distraction, like, I don't know, break a glass or something like that. You know, that.
So this would be an aid or an, this would be an aid roll.
It's an aid or it's a defend. Yeah, probably an aid. Oh, it'll be an aid. Yeah. None of the consequences of defend make sense for what I'm going for.
Not yet.
1 second, get back into.
I imagine Finn's dad has opinions about you.
I imagine Finn's dad has opinions about everyone. He seems the type.
He does. You missed Andrew voicing him in the first episode.
I don't remember how I voiced.
Very grumpy, Barty Builder kind of General Armstrong from Alchemist. Yeah. Except a bit, actually, no. Their teacher's dad, their teacher's husband, the big gruff guy who's kind of paunchy but also hugely strong.
Oh, yeah.
I'm forgetting his name. Sid or something like
that. Yeah, my dex is one. So, well, hold on. It's an aid, actually. So it's a plus one because of the, yeah. So it's the same roll. It's just a different reason. Mm-hmm. 9.
Good enough. So that's a plus one to Finn. This probably feels like being dexterous to avoid getting noticed or being, regardless, it's being quiet and fast. So let's say 2d6 plus a 2 because he's got one dex. 7. Your aid was needed. Okay. Which one of you wants to play the bastard who gives choices?
Ooh, let's see. I would like to play that because I share in it, but I don't want to decide what it is. So I'm gonna give the choices and let other people decide.
Okay.
Ooh, let's see. I want two bad choices. I don't want you get it, but at a cost. I want it to be, you know, two different choices. Choice number one is your powers do something to the pie. Because we need one or two more incidences of the powers going out of control before you can learn how to use them. So choice number one is I distracted you and that unleashed something. Choice number two is that you get the pie, but you're caught up above everything. Not caught by people.
Right.
Like you got your leg stuck.
I'm going to go with one. You distracted everyone, including me, just as I was like leaning over, hanging by the toes to reach. And I just managed to swipe a finger by the pie. And then I hit the table and all of the plates nearby it. And everything just starts to rise.
Oh, no.
We're bouncing this to Alfie. Actually, no. First question is, how does Bo share in the consequence? Alfie, you got the point of view on this. So you're seeing this disaster emerge because at this point, somebody's noticed. Two things. We know adults ignore magic, but there isn't any exposure directly. This is just a weirdness that's hard to miss. So do they notice?
Well, it's one of two possibilities there. They do notice, or for some reason, they are oddly fixated on the source of that sound.
Okay, so your choice, Alfie. Do they pay attention to the sound of the rock, or are they oddly fixated on the flying table and food?
Ooh, I feel like the rock. I feel like that if we're treating it as the adults do not pay attention to the magic, I feel like there's almost like there's got to be a reason for it, and I'm thinking it's like they should reasonably hear or see out of the corner of their eye that the table is floating, but forget spell in Harry Potter or something. Like, no. I get like I'm thinking of like a sense of like there's like, was that floating? No, like there
must just be the wind. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I'm getting like a sense of like something wants them to not be aware of magic kind of thing.
So this will get back around to Bo sharing the consequence. Finn goes with it. He scrabbles up another branch, takes a leap, way too light on his feet, grabs the pie and kind of drifts back down around the two of you and hands the pie for you guys to take your choice bits. Bo first, since he shared in the shenanigans. But you were stung by the thorns, right? When you tried to help pull it off before?
Although I don't think I was infected, but I with whatever you have, but I was definitely stung by them. So something happened.
You go to reach for the pie and your finger's bleeding.
Huh. Bloodberry.
I guess now.
What happened to you guys while I was at home?
Eating pie, shoves it to Alfie.
We should probably do this around the corner. And I move them around the corner. I stuff my face full of pie, and then I start bandaging my hand.
But what happened? Sussy.
Oh, yeah. Finn was floating through town, and I tried to jump up and grab.
There, yeah.
No, I didn't see you.
I saw some of that, but I got caught up in the chase of everything and just headed back home.
Well, basically, whatever was in him kind of did a bunch of vines or something like that up his arm, and or maybe it was tattoos of vines. I can't remember, actually. And, well, the thorns were real, that they stabbed me, and apparently they have not, the wound reopened, so.
Finn, what arm had, like, thorns or vines on it?
He waves his arm, it's fine now. Where's Hesse?
She's back around the corner, she's a little tired from everything, but.
Is she investigating the rock?
Yeah. she seems a little, like, out of it. She kind of just wants to head back home. I just said, you know, fine, I'll keep an eye on you two, but she was kind of quiet, but...
Finn picks up a stick and stabs you.
Why?
Okay, it's the real one.
What made you think it wasn't the real one?
Because Sessie's being weird.
She is, but that wasn't a reason to stab me. He's still on the ground. Like he's not used to getting like too much in pain.
Yeah.
I was a little overboard. You should do that to yourself. Maybe you're the one who's
Yes.
Finn pokes his finger. Nope, fine.
Well, fair enough.
Here, give me the stick and I'll try it.
We already verified.
Poor Alfie.
You said vines. Okay, vines crawled up your arm from
my thing. Yeah, sure.
Thing.
What? Mm-hmm. What happened to the thing? Because it was in the pile with us.
Oh, the mayor's son apparently understood and knew how to use it, or did something, and his dad didn't, and then we got busted for sissy.
So he has it now.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, he did until he got clobbered with a rolling pin.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What happened to it after?
I have no idea.
Good question.
It was after something in the mayor's house.
I peek back around to see if Sussy has it.
Sussy's gone.
I walk back around to the brig to see if there's anyone still in it.
Shadows are in there now.
Is there a Sussy one?
It's a little dark to see.
Right. Gonna just saunter back around.
And we're gonna come back to that later.
Gonna saunter back around, whistling like everything's fine.
Yeah,
totally didn't cause a problem there.
Don't worry, we're totally setting up something for when Blue gets back, and so we don't have to take too much time away from our own character.
I did text her that there were two of us, two of her now.
Yes. It's fun. Look, it solves the problem of one of us not being here, so it's fine. It's fine. Hey, it's better than you just popped out of a wormhole.
We'll get around to that eventually. So, now that we've established we can just, you know, take food from the party, do you guys want anything else?
I want to know where my thing went. That's...
Why?
I'd like to get it back.
Alfie, did you take it from someone?
No.
Alfie?
No.
Alfie.
What?
What are going to be the consequences if you don't get it back?
Yeah.
Nothing. I liked it. It was shiny.
Did you take something without promising to return it?
I'm trying to find a role to like.
I would say spout lore or discernment. Spout lore if it's things about things you know. That
no, I'm trying to like hide the fact that I know lore.
Okay, in that case, deception would probably be charisma.
Well, we can... it's always interesting party versus party roles.
Actually, I was going to say, do we want to set this up as Finn doing a parlay, maybe? And just treat it as, instead of a GM character, it's my character?
Okay, so what's the leverage?
You've been caught flat-footed.
Yeah. Essentially... Finn knows when Alfie is lying, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to tell Sassy, and she's going to really lay it into you. Okay, so I guess I'm the one rolling call. This should get interesting.
Yeah, why not?
Do I even have it?
I mean, at this point, Bo is actually fine just leaving that thing to do whatever it's going to do.
You know, I think Finn is a lot of things, but charismatic is not the one. No, like he's personable and all that stuff, and he definitely BS's his way out of things. But he's not, you know, the social manipulator.
Oh, no. You and I have a lot in common, because that's why I put my when I assign him, my charisma is going to be zero, because Bo thinks he's good at talking his way out of problems, and he's not.
$5 says the only one who's good at talking is Sussy.
So really, Alfie, what you're doing is an interfere. So roll there and use bond, and then depending on what happens there, it affects my roll.
Okay, so that is...
Because you're trying to lie to me, which is interfering.
Right.
2d6 plus 1.
2d6 plus 1. 4.
We're going to get around to the consequence of that, but Finn knows you are lying pretty well. The question is, what happens now? So, okay, let's just verify. When you fail an interfere roll, what occurs?
Actually, it doesn't. It's just you're not move. The primary role. I think it just gives a potential move. Probably, it just depends on what's narratively appropriate.
Okay, so let's see how my parlay goes, and then we'll figure out what the consequences of this are on the whole.
I'm guessing maybe if we want to treat it, we could say it is just it gives you a plus one then, because I failed to interfere with it.
Oh no. You rolled under a 7. This is a hard move of some kind.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The question is...
The question is, whose hard move?
Okay. So I rolled a 9, which means the parlay partially works here. Let's see what that does. Okay. On a 7 to 9, they need something. They need some concrete assurance of you. Okay. On a hit, I can ask... They ask something from me first, and I'll do something, make a promise. So a 7 to 9 is a hit, and I'll... They'll need a concrete assurance. So what do you... Finn knows you're lying. We're pretty well, because you're a terrible liar and he's very familiar with your shenanigans and your antics. So he's just going to stare at you and you're going to fess up that, you know. But what are you asking for Finn before you tell him the truth?
Can you not tell anyone?
Anyone?
Okay, you can tell Bo, but not Sussy.
Fine.
Just you two, okay?
Okay, sure. Lying processes. Normal. What did you get it from, or who, and why do you need to return it?
So, I went into the area we're not supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
There is, you know, you go far enough in, there's an old tree there that may have more of what I have. And, well, here's the thing, though. When I took one, I may have said I just, you know, I may have been like, I didn't hear any voices or anything, but I did promise the tree and the other things there that I would bring it back and I wouldn't hurt it.
I'm going to look to Bo because other things is a big question mark.
I mean, it that's not good. It's not. It's generally just not a good idea in the first place to make promises to trees.
But the other things, Bo?
That there are more of them there?
Other things possible. Than trees.
Say again?
Other things than trees.
And there are strange stories from out that way.
Are you spouting lore?
Sure. Not that I'm any good at that. I would guarantee you my intelligence is my minus one.
I was going to say, if we want to have me spout lore, I could do that as well. We could do that as well, because my end should be good, yeah.
I mean, yeah, if we want to establish that both of us don't know that the other things are, you can totally just run your mouth about that.
I was going to say, like, Elfie has had this thing for a little while now, so...
Okay, sure. So we will look at you confused, and you get to... Here's your opportunity to give us an explanation that makes actual sense.
All right, I need to roll here.
Plus 2 is your end, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Slash roll.
And I think, Dave, you'll be the GM on this because you're the other one worth...
Well, that's a 12.
Interesting and useful, huh?
So what does Bo know that's interesting and useful that Alfie can run with?
Oh, am I...
Or you could take it that way or just be GM. It's your call.
Yeah. It's never good to make promises to a tree. There's some strange things out there, especially when they bloom. not really trees, not really flowers, but bloom is probably the right term, and it looks a lot like it. You can get, like, they can give a lot of, supposedly, there's a, the stuff out that way can give you a lot of different boons, but they tend to have some very specific things you have to do, not costs, more recipes. And if you don't do them, things go pretty bad. I think that's where the whole thing about not making promises to trees comes from.
So this is just my GM brain working here, but I think there are a couple of things I'd want Andrew to spout lore about. One of them is the by when. For instance, if you promised or got a sense that maybe by like sunset the next day or in X many days you should bring this back, then that gives a sense of urgency whereby we have to get this thing and bring it back. And if,
well,
you know, so
yeah,
apologize.
The true boon doesn't happen until you bring it back. It's a kind of a see the world kind of thing.
See, that's yeah, I was going to say, like, my thought is that, like, the reason Alfie is wanting to get it back and is so secretive is that he has to get this back soonish.
Because yeah. It's going to bloom, the tree's going to bloom properly in tonight. Let's say tonight, or by, you know, the full moon at full height or something, so that there's now an urgency to getting it and returning it.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so go spout your lore here, since you have free reign.
Me or Dave?
Yeah, I gave you the framework. This, you can work off of anything.
Okay.
Yeah, spin it as you like.
So I promised I would, you know, I got a sense that it was okay to take the thing,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, as long as I bring it back, this was
by when?
This was a couple of weeks ago, and I promised I would bring it back when the full moon was over the tree.
So it's either looking up at the moon. Yeah, Fuller Gibbous. It's full. So you've got until midnight tonight?
Yeah.
How far is the tree?
Pretty far.
Right. So Finn's the impulsive one. He's just going to grab the two of you, and you are floating up to the top of the house.
Wait, we need the thing, though.
What
thing's
thing?
Probably in the house. It was after something in the mayor's house.
We're going to glide in an open window on, like, the second or third story.
There's probably one open. I was going to say this. I don't remember the mayor being the most observant one of floating children.
No. Who wants to? Andrew, why don't you tell us what room we're in the house?
So Finn is impulsively just kind of, like, you know, grabbing us, floating us up. I'm going to say we're in a hallway. I'm going to say we're on, like, the hallway that goes into the mayor's either office or living quarters.
Perfect.
Finn, tell us before you whisk us up.
Oh, he's already down the hall.
Bo's following him.
Alfie is, like, quickly behind as he see Bo.
The rest of the rooms are probably boring. We're just going to peek in quickly.
Oh, hey, the mayor's son. He's still unconscious. That is weird. She didn't hit him that hard.
Alfie is actually going to go check on the mayor's son.
Okay. Sounds like a discern realities.
When you closely study a situation, but wisdom.
And you get to ask questions. What's your wisdom?
I think Alfie's is zero.
This should go well.
I had it as...
Are you helping, Bo, or am I, or neither of us?
I could say neither, because Alfie probably, if Bo went along to follow Finn, he's probably not paying attention to Alfie.
Oh, then that's probably, I mean, just a little behind the scenes, that's probably a great negative, like a great consequence if we need one, that what's one of the GM moves? Split them up. If you roll poorly, you realize that you don't know where we are anymore.
I could see that happening, considering Alfie's kind of like, I don't know where I am.
Like, always falls along and gets ditched.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, there's probably been a fair bit of encounters where Finn has just left Alfie, either intentionally or unintentionally.
Cecil will find you eventually. Sobbing.
That's a 5.
Oh, no. Dave, you had the idea. Go with it.
That's a 5.
Okay. Then What absolutely has to happen is, as you lean close to figure out what's going on with the mayor's son, his eyes open and they are like no pupils or irises to them. And you realize there's like these coruscating vine patterns running over his skin, and they're now visible. They weren't before. And he picks you up and you both start floating. Congratulations, you found the thing.
For the sake of everyone at home in the audience, Alfie starts shouting and screaming.
Oh, no. So, okay, Bo, how far into the mayor's office or other interesting thing are we when this happens?
We're probably around the corner, like rooting through the mayor's desk or something.
Absolutely. Let's figure out what we found that tempts us into taking too long here.
I was going to say, like, let's definitely do like a cut where it's like, Alfie went.
This is a full negative consequence. We can't be there immediately. Yeah.
No. So what's caught our interest that keeps us distracted here? Mayor's desk. Okay.
Okay. The answer is defy danger wisdom.
Sure. Who's helping and who's doing the role?
I'm following you, so I'm probably the one helping.
Okay. Roll your aid.
Does that make me GM then?
Yep.
I have a suspicion of what's going on, which is, and why it's defy danger wisdom, is this is the same thing that hit Ceci earlier.
Oh, the invasive idea.
The invasive idea that's getting us distracted from magic.
Mm-hmm.
Got a 7, so I'm definitely distracted with you if you don't make this.
Ooh, 2d6 plus 2. Better than nothing. Just barely. Friendship is magic.
A series we never finished.
Sadly. So many terrible things I had yet to throw at you guys, like the fight with Maitre D. He had origami battle with napkins.
So basically what we got caught up with is the minutia of what's going on in the mayor's desk. We were going through papers, various the reports about the town. We probably uncovered something, you know, minor, but like, it's oddly fascinating. And the only thing that clues you into the fact that there's anything going on at all is you've never been fascinated by this stuff before.
Right, because this stuff is immensely boring. There's nothing like hunter stories about weird trees in the woods and people vanishing or unusual magic floating, none of that. It's all very mundane and I'm way too interested.
Mm-hmm. But it's not something we can pull ourselves away from immediately. It's there's sort of this, just one more page and this will all make sense.
Right. There's got to be the interesting thing somewhere here at the end.
So we can't leave. So we have to grab a whole bunch of the papers before we leave the room.
Oh, yeah. And make a mess of it.
Oh, definitely.
By the time we're startled. Yeah. So we'll grab the papers. Maybe they'll be important later. We'll trash the mayor's house or room, desk, office thing, which I'm sober. This is going to make sense later when I think about it.
What's the mayor's son's name?
Clancy. Let's just call him Clancy.
There's definitely Cecil. And among other things that I had to stop and sign, Clancy was here on some of the fallen papers.
Yeah.
Let's say Clancy. Let's go with Cecil. He feels like a Cecil.
Cecil.
Cecil or Basil, something like that. I didn't pay much attention, which is why Finn doesn't remember. So it might be a few versions of his name. One of those or all of them. Important people have too many names. Steal the papers. And by the time we get to Alfie, something's happened.
Well, we are coming up on the cliffhanger moment.
I think we open the door because, well, importantly, is Alfie still screaming?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Second question. Is Alfie still in the room?
Yeah. Or are we chasing something?
I think we'd have to have it be a chase because I feel like you guys would have taken too long with the papers. And
oh, definitely. Okay. Third question is, what way did they leave the room?
I'm assuming the way that we came in.
It's also the window.
So we get to the room, which we knew Alfie was kind of poking, and it's empty and kind of trashed, and there's weird detritus around there. The window's still open. Importantly, by the time Bo and Finn get to it, can we still see anything like them falling out the window or running into the woods?
I'm going to say you guys can see them fly through the window.
Uh-huh.
And when you look in the room, there is still like vines and stuff, like the stuff that was on your arm, but the moment like you like look between the room and the window, the vines are like disintegrated into ash by like just in that quick time span.
You know what's terrible about that? We could stay and stop whatever's happening from happening, but the thing grabbed Alfie and is running back into the woods, which means either it's returning itself or it's returning with him.
Or Cecil's going to get the thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't really like that guy.
You don't even know him, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Cecil or me? As Alfie just continues screaming and
you know, if it came down to like making sure one of the two of them got the thing, I'd want it to be Alfie.
Sure. Are we deliberating this instead of going out the window?
Good point. I jump out the window.
I think the best part is you didn't let me grab you first.
Exactly.
Yeah. Fine.
Finn jumps out. This is a defy danger.
The question is, are you going to try to grab me on the way down or not?
Yeah. Let's roll this and it'll be our cliffhanger depending on what happens. And Bo's brain explodes on the
ground. And I have definitely found out something about Bo that he really doesn't think before he does things.
No, we thought Finn was that guy, but it's you.
No, the two of us push each other towards.
I think the difference is that Finn's the one who climbs the tree, not thinking he'll be all right, where Bo's the one who forgets the fact that, oh, this is a couple stories off the ground.
Bo
That's
is
the difference.
As I was explaining it last time, Bo is the one who has not yet encountered something that he can't just, you know, power his way through. Not like with power, but like he hasn't been injured in a way that he can't recover from. He's very durable. Not supernaturally so, just that he's got a talent for it.
Yeah, he's hardy, essentially.
I feel like there's a rule of three here that we have to invoke at this point, because Finn has used the powers enough that something has to happen big. And I think the big issue here is that by the time he reacts, Bo is too far away for him to get to physically. So like he'll jump out the window and he'll try to reach him, but that alone isn't going to do it. So this isn't acting quick. This is using the magic itself to reach out and cross that gap and do something. And the big problem here is it's do something, which we have no idea what that is. So what do we think? Okay, let's go to the Defy Danger.
That's con. That doesn't work. You could do a defend roll, but instead of with con, do it with wisdom or charisma. One of the two.
I feel like wisdom makes more sense, maybe.
Yeah. It depends on how you think you access this.
I'm compelling whatever this is that is kind of me to do a thing that I don't know what does. So yeah, mental fortitude, force of will. Yeah, let's do 2d6 plus will, no aid, because you're busy getting squished.
But it'll function like a defend roll.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. 2d6.
We have fun here on Outer Worlds with things and whatchamajiggas and probably things kids should not go venturing into the dark woods for.
Oh, you are such a lucky bastard.
What'd you get?
10.
Yeah.
So we're going to get an awesome moment. We're going to, on a 10, hold 3. So long as you stand in defense or you persist in defense, we'll call it this one. When you or the thing you defend is attacked, you may spend hold 1 for 1, choose an option. So I think before I choose the options, we've got to establish what actually happens, because it works well and it's controlled. But I'm leaving it up to you two. I know Finn is extending whatever this magic is to try to get a hold of Bo before he hits the ground or something else. What is that?
Well, I have a weird, weird idea.
Go ahead.
Throw it out.
Okay. There is a connection between Bo and this power that you're using. And it's blood.
Oh, God. How do you think that manifests? Is it forming itself into something solid, or does it have to be pulled on to seize?
Or is Finn essentially blood bending your way back into the room?
Because what I'm saying, for instance, is like, yeah, we can pull the blood out of you and I can pull onto that like a thread or a yard or something, but it's still your blood.
Right. Like, if there's consequences, that's how I'm injured by this.
Okay, let's do this, because there's hold to spend here. Finn reaches out. He knows he can't reach you, but as we've established, there is that connection where when he uses magic, it pulls on you too. So whatever this is, it pulls on Bo, and he feels something twisting out of his arm, and it hurts.
Oh, yeah.
Like
You could literally describe it as like if he was trying to like rope himself onto something before it went taut, and it just yanked his arm.
Yeah, Bo, yeah. You've fallen out of things occasionally and grab like a vine hanging off the side of a cliff or a tree. It's like that kind of pain where you're okay, but it hurts because of the force of it and the suddenness
and
of it.
And it definitely got the wind knocked out of me too.
Right. What makes it hurt more is it came from out of you.
Oh, yeah.
And then looped itself around you and pulled. So there is a red fracture. It's blood, but it's not solid. It's more kind of like globules that are floating around, and some of them thread-like and rope-like, wrapped around your arm, around your wrist, coming out of your hand, and Finn's got the other strands in his. So the first hold there is have the effect or the damage. You don't land, but you still get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one hold.
Do we want to do this with hit points, or do we want to do this with like a very simple, fine, bruised, injured?
We don't have hit points without classes in this game, as far as I know. So
probably fine, bruised then. Yeah.
Then yeah. Well, let's just do it that I'm on like because of this and the that my injury is that on my next roll, whatever it is, I'm at a -1/2.
Right. Or we could just apply conditions to stats, which exist too.
Mm-hmm.
Con, for instance, is sick, or strength would be weak.
My con is my highest stat.
Okay.
So
if you want it mechanical, we can go that way, or we can just keep it narrative. It's your choice.
I like narrative for this point, for this moment.
The consequences still aren't hard and dangerous enough here.
Right.
Okay. So for the most part, you are held, and you drift down to the ground gently. Finn lets go of whatever he was holding on to, and it
just goes right back in. That was a really weird sensation.
Yeah, and that's probably deeply unnerving and uncomfortable.
When Finn gets to the ground, Bo's like, we will never talk about this again.
I don't know. That was kind of useful.
yeah, it was.
High five.
Finn becomes a blood mage later.
High five.
Finn becomes a blood mage or Bo becomes a blood mage. It works for either of them.
Blood mages. Maybe it's just one becomes a blood warlock, the other becomes a blood mage.
I don't know, because I think we're reaching the point where we're going to make decisions soon about what system we stay with. There's the Leaf, the Legends, and the Myth thing, which after we finish the recording, I'll bounce to you guys.
No, whatever the case is, we better chase them if we're going to catch up with them.
Right, so I think we do like the classic high five. You get blood spotters that kind of like, you know, globules that float off that aren't attached to you anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And they just kind of like drift off into the sky, and we both look at that and go, right, and then start bolting after. Importantly, is Alfie still screaming?
Since this is the same magic, you could use that as a trail to find him. Just follow the blood globules, because they're going back to where Alfie got the thing.
Oh, yeah.
They do float off, and then they start to all go in a direction.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I could attract him anyway, but this makes it easier.
No, but still, yeah, I'm just saying, like, that could be like the, because you both still, or I was gonna say maybe just Bo, but you still took damage, so that blood that came from using the magic, like, it's going to the source of it, essentially. Like, that's, you paid the cost, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the beat I kind of see in this moment. Bo, you're going to run off because we've established, okay, yeah, I'm not in danger anymore. We know there's a way to track it. I'm going to do my thing and track.
Also, it's my blood. I mean, I like to stay in one place.
Yeah.
So how about I get it back? There's a moment right before Finn decides to follow you where he looks back around to the party at how utterly oblivious they are. The table still floating there with the food and something starting to crawl out of that upper story window.
Oh, the thing.
Yeah.
The bad idea.
Yeah, and there's that moment of indecision of, and then he runs after you. So the hard move here is that whatever is happening in the town, we're not there to stop.
Who would expect a bunch of kids to stop it anyway?
The plot of Stranger Things.
My point is that we're making decisions that have consequences and we don't know it yet.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we won't until we come back, because our goal here is to keep Alfie safe and return the thing and get the fun magic and do the neat thing according to the stories we grew up with.
I say this now knowing that, like, by the time we get to it, we might have a different, completely different opinion. But I've never actually done a storyline where my character has a crisis of conscience and realizes that they need to be more like that their actions have directly led to this. I've either played characters who have always tried their best to think about their actions ahead of time, or who didn't care, or who don't spend time worrying about the negative consequences of their actions so long as they tried to do the things the right way. That was Corellian specifically.
But we've stumbled into one of the, you know, our idea was we were going to explore to a certain extent the narrative beats and then see where they led this over those old, you know, retro RPG games. And one of them is when you do the thing that changes your home irrevocably.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is that childish innocence, you know, and the hope that you'll, whatever happens, you know, somebody will, the adults will take care of it or it won't be too bad.
Now, the real trick is going to be doing this without like devaluing or invalidating the people who stay in this town. Like, we don't want to do something like, oh, yeah, this town. We can do that. Terranigma clearly devalued the people. Right. They were only there for show.
We did this to Ceci because it was important in that moment when she realized there was a magic that changes how adults perceive things, and it for a brief moment affected her. She gained an experience.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea what that means.
No, we do not, but we probably will.
Is this a moment where Finn gains one?
It's not one where Bo gains one. Not yet.
No, but I think this is a moment where Finn has that kind of feeling of...
I feel like, yeah, if Finn is noticing the bad idea, I feel like, yeah, that would be his experience. Because, like, Alfie's experience is definitely going to be something that happens in the woods where he found
when
the thing
offered to the tree.
Yeah.
You realize you're turning that bad idea into oncoming adulthood.
Yeah. But that's how these games roll. You play with the truths as they emerge.
Exactly.
So yeah, we'll end that narrative beat of him right as he bolts and running off into the woods to follow him. There's just that little mark one XP or you gain experience. We're just going to leave it at that. Whatever that ends up meaning, two of us have gained it. Ceci's gained two.
Reminds me a little bit of the game Promethean, the created, where your characters are not human and they do not understand humanity, but they want to be human. And a large part of the game is watching humanity and trying to figure out what makes humanity human. And these touchstone moments, these milestones that they achieve when they get some undefinable understanding that they did not have before, that brings them closer to that point.
Right. And I think the one here is whatever happens in this moment, we did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm making the choice to not be here for it.
Good thing Ceci is around.
Oh, yeah,
but Ceci's where?
Totally got that. Hey, Blue, so we left the town possessed and completely owned by the idea that was in your brain.
Also, there may or may not be two of us, and or you are in the Elysium.
If we're,
oh, my God.
If we resolve, is Blue going to be back? When's Blue going to be back?
Probably next month.
Okay. So if we resolve this forest thing before Blue gets back, one of the beats that would be just really strange and unnerving would be we come back and the town has been saved from the thing we left behind by our doppelgangers. And they're the ones getting all the accolades.
Oh my goodness. I like
nothing that. Said our doppelgangers had to be evil.
No, they're just us in another form.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a whole thread of something we've led into the world. We'll have to see what they are and what we are as a result of that. But
I mean, the typical thing of changelings is that they take the place of people who are living in the normal world. And when you get back there, if you get back there, the real person's out with the fairies. The real person is gone somewhere else.
In a way, what you're establishing is the possibility of why we don't return, because we're already there.
Exactly. That our place in the town is gone.
Right. And then we have to find some way to either accept that or get it back.
Does that mean that by proxy we're going to be traveling with Sussy's changeling by the end of it?
Quite possibly.
And her changeling will be the one that, like, comforts us, I guess, or, like, explains it?
Andrew, have you played Breath of Fire 1 or is it 2?
I haven't played either of the Breath of Fire games.
So in the Breath of Fire games, you're the last of Dragonkind, and, you know, Evil Empire goes and murders you.
Somehow there are four different eras where you're the last of Dragonkind. Because it's not the same character in each game.
No, but I think this isn't the first one. The reason I bring it up is that there's a big twist at the end of the game where you go to fight the big enemy general, but of course there's the dragon, literally, of his army, and it's your older sister. She's the penultimate boss.
If I remember correctly, in Breath of Fire 4, which I have not played, there are essentially two dragons. And in a very Saga Frontier style, they will eventually face each other, but you continue playing as whichever one wins.
Oh, right. Yeah, there is. It's there's the hero and the old emperor who's been utterly screwed over and wants revenge. And in Breath of Fire 3, you start off as a kid. Terribleness happens when you try to rob the mayor's house. And these huge, monstrous horsemen, Sentai monsters.
That's two. Two is definitely the one. Well, two is the one where you're where you start out as a kid, you go into the forest, and when you come back, everything's different. No one remembers who you are.
It's also three. So in three, they do a variation on that where
yes.
Rei and Teepo, yeah. And you get out. Teepo apparently gets murdered by the thugs, and Rei is just, you know, knocked out. And you believe Teepo's dead for most of the game until you get to the end of the game, the, you know, Dragon Holy Land where the goddess has decided, fine, I'm going to take you on. And sure enough, there's the boss, the Dragon Lord, Teepo. And he's super convinced that it's time for dragons to cease existing. And you have to end him.
It'll be fine.
We start with happiness and always go wrong somewhere.
Look, we don't have a pattern or theme. We swear, audience.
Andrew, it's your fault.
So far, like,
this is your game.
So far, this is still innocent fun. We do not have to take it down any of these dark paths. In fact, coming back and finding that our doppelgangers that we left behind saved the day is actually pretty lighthearted for us.
True, and also even more interesting, there could just be the possibility of, hey, great. All the obligations we had totally taken care of. Let's have an adventure. What's the matter, Andrew?
I mean, we could just talk to the changelings and just be like, okay, we'll do a sort of a timeshare.
I'm gonna just keep my ideas to myself. And
sounds like a plan. I'm not gonna remember anything I'm putting here. I'll just in the moment figure out what's the best course of action.
Are you taking your brother's role in these games, Dave? Steven was infamous for walking into a session going, hey, so what happened last time?
Listen, I'm sure the doppelgangers taking our place will be nothing but sunshine and rainbows, and we'll get along fine. There's no way this will turn evil at all.
No, like Dave said, the most demented thing would be if, you know, if the town's just perfectly normal and chill and fine by the time we get back. Also, you know, we'll made a strange bargain with a tree monster that blooms at the, you know, full moon once in a generation or something, and that's probably
what blooms at midnight.
Or we'll offer, you know, Elfie to the ancient tree gods, and stuff will happen. You know, and we'll have to explain that to Sassy.
It'll be fine.
Absolutely.
Well, I gotta get going. So, until next time,
find out what happens at midnight next time on Outer Worlds.
On the next Dragon Ball Z.
They proceed to have hernias for 35 minutes.
This has been Otter Worlds. I don't remember the rest of the outro.
It's until next time. Go then. There are otter worlds than these.
See you all next time.
A good story can excite us, yes. But the best ones, fiction or not, compel, inspire, or drive us toward the hope that we need for a better life. Remember, you don't need to know everything right now, but you do need to write. So make sure to like, review, and subscribe to us at Here Be Tigers. And until next time, take life by the tail.
Oh, don't feed the changelings after midnight.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the real problem.
Are they going to shrink and just turn into, what is it, red caps or whatever?
Way to go back around to dark immediately.
What?
Blood everywhere.
We didn't say we didn't have to make the red caps evil. Okay.
You're not gaining XP until we get back to the village and there's just blood all over the bakery.
Look,
he didn't choose to leave the village. He's the one person who has an excuse.
Yeah.
You know, the best part would be if Alfie doesn't see it. Hey, why is there jam everywhere?
Why are there four individuals with jam on their caps?
And their fingers and their toes, their teeth.
We're gonna keep it lighthearted, audience, we swear.